Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to the Blonde Files podcast. I'm your host, Arielle Lori, and I'm here to talk all things wellness, from how to achieve optimal health and well-being to the best beauty tips and everything in between. No topic is off limits. I know there's so much information out there, so I'm bringing on expert guests and sharing my own experiences to help you sift through all the wellness stuff without the BS. Enjoy the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Welcome to an episode that I have wanted to do for such a long time. You will hear me, I believe, in the beginning of this episode, talk to my guest about how she's always been on my list of people that I've really wanted to talk to. So, of course, since you clicked on the episode, you saw that my guest is Emily Morse. So, a little bit about Emily, if you're not familiar with her, which I'm sure you are. She has hosted the number one relationship podcast, Sex with Emily, for nearly 2 decades. I didn't even know what a podcast was 6 years ago. So, 2 decades is mind-blowing to me. And she's been hailed the Dr. Ruth of a new generation by the New York Times. So she really encourages us to embrace sex as an act of wellness, which we talk about in the episode. We also talk about how at 35, she decided that she was sick of living in a sexual straitjacket. So instead of depending on a partner to fulfill her needs, she committed to exploring and explaining what turned her on. And since then, she has inspired her vast audience to join her on a journey of liberation. So she has a new book out as well called Smart Sex. I was lucky enough to read it before the interview. I recommend it to anybody. She introduces a radical paradigm called sexual intelligence, so sex IQ, and we talk about that in the episode as well. So she classifies it into 5 pillars: embodiment, health, collaboration, self-knowledge, and self-acceptance. And she creates a framework for how to re-educate yourself about pleasure. And she is just so fun to talk to. And I know we're like not supposed to talk about people's appearance or like body or I don't know, but she's this tiny little thing, but she's such a powerhouse and she is so incredibly smart. And she makes the topic of sex, which can often be taboo and is kind of filled with shame for a lot of people and really uncomfortable, really fun and easy to talk about. So she has been profiled in the New York Times, Forbes, and Men's Health. She's been featured by The Today Show, Conan, Entertainment Tonight, Glamour, Cosmopolitan, Bustle. And today she joins the esteemed Blonde Files podcast to talk about, like I said, her book and what makes and keeps sex great. So we talk about what people get wrong about sex, how to have better sex, how to maintain good sex in long-term relationships. We talk about that sex IQ, the sexual intelligence, how to communicate about sex, how to remove shame. And she also explains how to navigate differing sex drives within a relationship. We talk about whether bad sex should be a deal breaker, why sexual health is an integral part of overall wellness. We talk rebranding anal sex, favorite sex toys, and so much more. Everyone loves talking about sex, so I think you'll love this episode. Please enjoy Emily Morse. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you for having me.
Can I just say that I've been doing this podcast for 4 years. Not as long as you. You've been doing like 2 decades, right?
Almost 2 decades, yeah.
I didn't even know there were podcasts.
I know. Exactly.
2 decades ago, but that's an aside.
No one does. But
I remember like when I made my master list of people that I wanted to come on, you were one of those people. And then again, like at the beginning of last year, I had another list of people I wanted to come on. And then I just never reached out. And then you have this book coming out and here you are.
Oh, so thank you for having me.
Very excited to have you here and to talk to you. Before we start talking about your new book and everything that that encompasses, I would just like to talk about your story a little bit, which you do share in the beginning of the book.
Yeah.
Which is basically that at like 35, you realized that you had never had an orgasm. Is that right?
With the partner.
Sex?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been basically faking them.
Mm-hmm. And it changed the whole trajectory of your life, obviously. So yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I will tell you the whole story. Yeah. So there I was having, you know, I was never a traditional relationship person. I realized that I would get into relationships and the sex wouldn't be that great after a while. And this was almost 2 decades ago. So there wasn't a lot of information out there about sex and relationships and dating or anything like that. And I just thought, I really don't want to fake this anymore. There's got to be a better way to understanding my pleasure and my body. And I thought, like, why? You know, it seems like my partner's always having a good time. And I used to define great, like, if sex was good or it was success, I was like, well, they had a good time. My partner had an orgasm. And so I started this podcast really just interviewing people about their sex lives, their relationships, because I was like, well, I must be missing something. What else is out there? And it turned out that nobody really had the answers and everyone was looking for it. So I thought this is going to be my path and my journey. And I started doing the podcast, and then I went back to grad school and got a doctorate in human sexuality. And ever since then, I've been, you know, doing the show and a lot of different things to help people, a lot of different educational tools to help people feel safer, more comfortable, and get rid of all the stress and the trauma and the shame that's keeping us back from pleasure. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of misinformation out there. So I try to get people to unlearn and relearn sexuality.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, what do you think is the biggest thing that people get wrong about sex? But I'm sure there's so much.
There's so many, but I think the biggest thing okay, let's talk about women. I think that women think that every time they have sex, they should have an orgasm during penetration. And I would say that's the one thing that I wish I could put a billboard on Sunset and just be like, 70% of women will not have an orgasm during penetration. So I think just knowing that we are responsible for our own pleasure, it's not our partners, and we have to be our own best advocates for pleasure. Mm-hmm. And that starts with learning our own bodies.
Mm-hmm. And communication, right?
Communication is a lubrication, yes. You know, we don't talk about sex, and we just expect, I don't know about you, but I used to expect that my partner would be a mind reader and that they would just show up knowing exactly what to do for my body. I had this notion that men got shipped off to some secret school where they were like learning, and they're like, someone was like holding up a graph of the clitoris and the pleasure, like an image, and they would know. And it turns out they don't know. So we really have to be our own best advocates. Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought that my partner would be a mind reader and know. So I've learned that I've had to learn to talk about sex. But here's the challenge, is that most of us are terrified talking about sex, and the majority of people in long-term relationships don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Did we have sex? Should we have sex? But that's about it. But there's so many more layers to it. So I really try to make talking about sex less awkward. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of what I do. I can give a million tips. I can help anyone have better sex. But I know that like it all starts with having like a few conversations about it.
Mm-hmm. When did you start having better sex? Is it right from the beginning?
Right at the beginning when I realized that like all the stuff that I was doing, like I didn't have to do it. And I started learning about my own body and my own pleasure. My sex got so much better. I started learning to advocate for myself and just being real. We make sex so awkward to talk about. So now I'm just like, I talk about everything with my partner, and I normalize the conversations with them. And so because I can have better conversations, my sex is way better and getting better all the time. And for me, like, what does great sex look like? It's so different for everybody. But for me, it's about like connection. My whole body's on board with it. I'm not like in my head worried about work or worried about something else. And I'm present and, you know, I'm in a good place with my partner. And so that's what great sex is. Mm-hmm. It's at the right time and the right place. And I know how to kind of make that happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people listening are like, yeah, that's great in the beginning of a relationship. But then the honeymoon phase is over. You're in a long-term relationship and that kind of dies out. So what would you say to that? I mean, how do you maintain that throughout, you know, the entirety of a relationship?
Oh, it's such a good question. And to be honest, one of the reasons why I started the show initially was because I'm like, I kept getting into relationships with people where the honeymoon phase was amazing, 6 months to 2 years. And then it wasn't. I was like, oh, well, clearly we need to get out of this relationship because you can't, the sex isn't great. Like, I can't have sex with one person where it's not great. So I want to just normalize that for people and say that, like, in every relationship, you're never going to go back to how it was at the beginning. It's just not possible because we have these, like, hormones, these feel-good hormones are, like, flying off in our brain. And literally, you look at the brainwave patterns of somebody on cocaine and somebody falling in love, and it's the same. So that's a drug. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. It's not going to continue. And so how you maintain that and how you continue to have connected, incredible sex is to, number one, talk about it. When do we want to have sex? When does it feel good to have sex? How many times a week should we have sex? Like, you really have to schedule it like you do. Like, my mission is to get people to prioritize their pleasure and prioritize their intimacy like you do your meditation workout, like your workouts, your meditation, your nutrition. Because sex isn't going to magically happen anymore after the beginning. It's not going to be great. So couples need to, like, have conversations about it. When is the right time of day for us to have sex? What kind of sex are we into? What needs to happen for that sex to like, for me, I've learned the things that are like my sex killers. And that's like stress, trauma. I talk about in the book is pleasure, mm-hmm. trauma, shame. The pleasure thieves. There's so much that is keeping us from pleasure every day. So I was like, I walk into the house. If it's cold, it's a mess. There's dishes in the sink. I'm annoyed with my partner. Like, all these things, I just know, like, if it's important to me, I need to get all these things in order so we can connect sexually. So I think that how to keep it hot is to talk about it. And the other thing is to communicate about it, figure out what's stealing your pleasure. And then also figure out when is the right time to have sex and what works for you in these conversations. But also the three things that couples crave the most are spontaneity in a relationship, like novelty, mm-hmm. and variety. So mm-hmm. It could just be, we're not going to have sex in the bedroom tonight. We're going to have sex in the living room, or we're going to use a different kind of lube, or we're going to talk dirty, or we're going to role play. I mean, something different. It doesn't have to be so extreme, but those are some of the elements I think we can get started on. Mm-hmm. Couples can get started on.
I was going to say newness. I mean, I think it's probably cliche, but if you think about people who end up cheating or whatever, it's because they are craving that novelty and that spontaneity, I would imagine, that they're not getting in their relationship. But I think it's, you know, people think about talking about sex, scheduling sex, yeah. you know, all of these things as like kind of the antithesis of sexiness.
Right. Exactly. But it's, you know what it is? You know what's also not sexy is not having sex at all, yeah. and having resentments with your partner. Mm-hmm. And so I get it. And I talk a lot about that in the book too, about like, I think the whole book could have been about communication. It could have mm-hmm. been about these tools because, except for everyone wants, you know, anal sex tips, but and oral sex tips, but really it's about scheduling sex. And I get that it's not hot, but like, you know how like the night before you're more likely to work out if you like lay out your clothes the night before, or you set your alarm, or you sign up for the classes. Sex is the same way. So if you setting yourself up for success, or I guess success is knowing that like it's never going to happen at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday night because you're exhausted. Maybe you have the kids. You just know that you maybe you work late or whatever it is. And then knowing like, well, maybe it's Saturday afternoons for a lot of couples. And there's been studies that show that women are more likely to desire sex midday. That's when we're more aroused or more mm-hmm. turned on. So how do we hack that? Like, how do we say, okay, well, if I know that Saturday afternoons, 3 o'clock, let's have that in our mind that that's when it's going to happen. So that we don't have to feel bad on Wednesday night at 10 o'clock when we're just exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, if you think about it, it might not be hot, but you're still it kind of, you're kind of taking out all those old elements that are making you resentful and not wanting to have sex. We just set it up and then you can look forward to that. You're like, mm-hmm. I know what's happening Saturday at 3:00. I want to make sure that everything's in place so it can be mm-hmm. what I want it to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, like takes all of the other stuff out of it, like the guesswork and the, yeah, if you just know that it's going to happen. I like morning. I think morning is like, I go to bed early.
Yeah, exactly. I love morning sex too. It's like you do it. It's a good way to wake up. You're already mm-hmm. there. You're already naked.
Yeah.
You're already naked.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you're so it's close. Good. Okay. So let's talk about the book and let's talk about sexual intelligence. Let's start there. So what is your sex IQ?
Okay. So it's a great question. So when I was writing this book, I realized like it's going to be like almost 2 decades of work all in this book. And I realized that like I have a lot of those tips in there. And as I was writing it, I thought, you know, I really want people, because a lot of people want like a quick fix when it comes to their sex life. They're like, well, what's the toy to buy? Or what's the lube to buy? Or what's the sex position? And I realized like we have to all look at it as our sexual challenges as a holistic, it's a holistic solution to your sex life, your sex IQ. And I also have a quiz that people could take on the site to realize like to look at where they kind of can improve their sex IQ right now. But what it is looking at these elements of your sex life and looking at how they impact your overall well-being. So a lot of people think that sex is something that we just sort of, it's sort of the stepchild of the wellness industry in a way. It's kind of moving inward now, but mm-hmm. but so the things I'm going to say right now and explain to you, your sex IQ might be like, oh, I didn't realize all those things were related, because a lot of people don't. They're like, either I'm in the mood or I'm not in the mood and I don't know why. So sex IQ there's 5 pillars. It's a new paradigm for thinking about your sexual health. There's 5 pillars. And the first one is embodiment. And that's just like, how do I move my body? Am I in my body right now? Like I think about like a pole dancing class I took where I realized that was all about like the S curves of your body. So that's like one way, or just like dancing, moving your body is a way of being embodied. The second one is health, your overall health and wellness, your mental health, your physical health, you know, realizing like, are you moving your body? You're going to have more blood flow. Orgasm, arousal is about blood flow. If we're not moving our bodies and we're not like, you're not going to be as aroused and turned on. Also your mental health, you know, if you're on any medications, if you're doing anything that could impact your ability to be aroused and turned on. So these are all the things about being sex that you have to like monitor these areas for looking at your, you know, how sexually intelligent you are. And here's the thing. You never get to a point where you can check it off the list that you're totally like, I've reached this level 10. It's constantly shifting over time. So these are just things to look at. The next one is self-knowledge. I know, like I said, like how well do we know ourselves and what's going to turn us on? Like I know that if it goes from 0 to penetration in 5 seconds, I'm not going to be ready for sex. Like I know that about myself. I need to make out. I might need some oral sex. I might need the candles. You know, if the house, like I said, if the house is cold, it's a mess, I'm not going to want sex. So I know that about myself and I'm not going to try to fit my sex into this place where it's just not going to work. And then there's self-acceptance. And this is a challenging one. This is like, do I accept my body for where it's at right now? Do I accept myself, my sexual knowledge up into where I'm at? It's actually how many partners I've had or how much experience I've had. Like right now, do I have confidence in where I'm at? And I give a lot of tips in the book and tools so people can, you know, because I know we struggle in all these areas so we can feel better in our bodies. And the last one's collaboration. Like, how well do I communicate with my partner and talk to them about my needs and my wants in my bedroom? And that's a big one for people. So you could have all the areas you're like, well, I'm working out, I'm taking supplements, I'm moving my body, I'm accepting that my boobs aren't what they once were, I'm accepting that my ass looks a little bit different. Okay. But I'm so pissed at my partner right now for, you know, not showing up for me in the way I've needed them to the last year. That's going to be the area of your sexual IQ that you're going to need to work on so you can be more aroused, turned on, feel sexual, and ready for, you know, pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, like, bad sex or just not connecting with somebody sexually despite trying all of these different things and you feel like you have all of these pillars together, like, is that a deal breaker in a relationship?
If you don't feel hot and turned on for them, mm-hmm. did you at the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't at the beginning, okay, so I remember all the time, like, oh, you know what? We're not hot for my partner. And I'm like, how was it at the beginning? If it was really hot at the beginning and then we could kind of trace back, like, what actually happened? Well, there was this traumatic thing that happened in my life. There was, you know, I got an antidepressant. Then we could work on it. But if it was never there and you never had the chemistry, it's really hard to kind of build that from nowhere. Does that answer it? Or is mm-hmm. it like, but it's, are you saying, can you get it back if it was there, but time's gone on and you
I'm just kind of anticipating questions from my audience. And I'm thinking of, you know, people, again, maybe back to like that long-term relationship. And I'm thinking of past episodes that I've done solo and with various people who always ask, like, how do you keep the spark alive? Like all of these different things around that flame kind of dying out.
Okay. So yeah, let's, how do you keep it hot?
Different scenarios. Yeah.
Different scenarios. But how you keep it hot, then should we, do you want me to like, how do you keep it hot? Okay. So the first thing is, you have to feel comfortable talking about it. Like I said, like you know where you're at sexually, know like what turned you on. We're responsible for our own pleasure and own desire. So there's something called responsive desire, right? There's spontaneous desire where I think like for men, many times we see like, he sees you walk across the room. He has an erection. He's ready to go. Mm-hmm. But for women, we respond more to incoming stimuli, to something happening. So, you know, knowing that, like, how do I work with my partner to let them know that I need some dirty talk, I need oral sex, I need other things to happen to keep it interesting. So understanding, like, hack that. A great place for couples to start is, what are they asking each other? What are the three most memorable times you've ever had sex? And then you kind of work with, you know, there's so much information there in that you're like, oh, it was that time we were on vacation, or it's, you know, that time that was kind of a surprise. It was the kind that you went down on me for 30 minutes. So there's a lot of information there to kind of work back and think of like, what does make it hot? What did make it great? And also, like, I have a lot of tools too, like the yes, no, maybe list. I have a guide of like 80 different sex acts that you can look at with your partner and say like, I know that it hasn't been as hot lately and we've been, because it can happen to every couple, but let's try to think of what we can do. So the yes, no, maybe list has like 80 things and you can download that for free on my website. It's at sexwithemily.com. And people love this. It's like literally the most downloaded thing I've ever done because it gives you every sex act. And it goes things from cuddling to spanking to kissing to using toys. And you can sit there and it's like a fun game you play together. Like it's, is it a yes, is it a no, or is it a maybe? And then couples can look at it. Then you have a whole list of things. You're like, I didn't know that you wanted to, you know, spank me and I want to be spanked. How great. Like, let's figure out ways to do that. It really is about the novelty and the newness. And I get that you're like, oh my God, but you don't understand. I'm so like, I can't say the sight of them. Like if we're talking about that, I mean, I just know that it's if you stop having sex, you're roommates.
Yes.
If you stop having, it is important even when we don't feel like it. And it's kind of like, what I think about is like going to the gym. You know how like the hardest part of going to the gym is sometimes getting your shoes on and getting out the door. Mm-hmm. And then once you get there and you get on the treadmill, you get in your class, you're like, oh, you never regret working out. Mm-hmm. I think that most people can agree to that. I also believe that you never regret having sex. Mm-hmm. It's just getting to the sex. So what this entire book is about, my entire career has been about, there's a million tips, sex acts, and sex things you can do. But how do you hack that? How do you get to the place where the sex is happening? Because sex begets sex. The more sex you have, the more sex you're going to want. The more you masturbate, the more you even talk about sex. Like, I know my relationships too, the more we like talk about sex and keep it top of mind, or we sometimes I'm just like, let's just watch some porn together. Like, let's just, and not always, like, people assume that I'm like always swinging from the rafters and I've got 100 toys out. Like, sometimes I'm just like, I know it's important and we need to have sex and like, let's do it, but I feel so much better. So if you can kind of reverse engineer this in your mind and think like, okay, I know that it's important. I don't want to divorce my partner. I don't want to break up with them. I've got to figure out a way to do all the things that I can to make sure that we are sexually healthy. And you can do these things with your partner too. Because what I hear a lot from couples is there's one partner who's trying to save the sex life. They're the one that's come to all the answers, but you're in it together, right? It's a partnership. Mm-hmm. It's a sexual partnership as well.
Mm-hmm. I have been in Mexico for the past week eating all the things, tacos, chips, guac, salsa, churros, you name it. And I was actually just thinking about how nice it is to be able to travel and eat whatever I want without having to worry about bloating or digestive issues. And also like not have to think about if I'm nourishing my body with all those vital micronutrients and vitamins and minerals, because sometimes you just want a vacation from it all. And this is all largely thanks to my AG1. So this is like the ultimate wellness and ultimate travel hack. I've been saying this for a long time, but here's why. Every scoop of AG1 is packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and whole food sourced ingredients of high quality that give me major benefits like gut and mood support,
boosted energy, and even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. So it's really this foundational all-in-one nutrition formula that makes it really easy to cover my nutritional bases every day. I started taking this a couple years ago for gut health primarily, which is how AG1 came to be. The founder was having a lot of gut issues, was taking a ton of different supplements with no success. And so this is kind of the one thing that does all of the things. I love it when I travel. The travel packs make it so easy. Instead of having to pack a lot of different supplements, you can just do one pack a day of AG1 with some water in the morning, and then you can go out and enjoy your life. So if you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/blondefiles. That's drinkag1.com/blondefiles. Check it out. I don't know about you, but one of the things that I look forward to the most in the summer is getting to do all of my favorite indoor things outside. So sharing meals, watching movies, taking a nap outside on a chaise lounge or sofa, everything is better al fresco. And the best way to make your outdoor space really work for you is with Article. So Article's curated catalog of outdoor furniture is here to help you do all your favorite things this summer. They have everything you need to really make things your own, from outdoor sofas to dining sets to decor. They have a really flexible range of styles, which means that you can really do more with the space you've got and really tailor it to your own style. And that's one of my favorite things about Article, this range of styles from like mid-century modern to coastal to industrial, Scandi and boho. So you can kind of mix and match and really individualize the look that you are going for. You guys probably know I talk about these all the time, but I got the Gabriola ivory boucle chairs last year. I've never gotten so many compliments on furniture in my life, and the whole process was so seamless. And there are so many things that I've been eyeing, but then every time that I check Article, they have new amazing things. So I have it narrowed down. I'm really loving the outdoor furniture. They have really beautiful chaise lounges right now, sectionals. They have amazing tables. So go check them out. They offer fast, affordable shipping across the US and Canada, and they won't leave you waiting around. So you can pick the delivery time and they will send you updates every step of the way. So right now, Article is offering my listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/blonde, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/blonde for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
How do I ask my boss for a raise?
I'm so jealous of my coworker's promotion. I just don't know what to do.
Is there a good way to brag about my accomplishments?
Careers are complicated, and there are so many hush-hush topics we're told we can't talk about. That's why you have the Career Contessa podcast. I'm your host, Laura McGoodwin, and each week I'm joined by experts to help you overcome your workplace woes with actionable advice that you can use today. Subscribe to the Career Contessa podcast and make progress in your career every Tuesday.
How do you discern between doing it for the sake of the relationship and, you know, to your analogy, just lacing up your shoes and going for it and really not wanting to do it? Like, I'm just thinking of people saying like, well, I shouldn't have to do something if I don't want to, like that argument, which is valid, but where is the line there between like doing it for the sake of the relationship and then also, I don't want to say protecting yourself, but like honoring your whatever you're feeling.
Yeah, no, it's a great question, because I'm not saying just take one for the team, or you got to give him the, you know, give him a blowjob on his birthday, like all these conversations.
Sometimes.
Maybe his birthday and another time of year. But I get it, but this is how women, because I know this is how I'm going to say, I don't often speak in, I'm like, women and men, we all have the same challenges after all these years. But let me just like talk about women for a second. It's like, it's really hard for us to keep our desire aroused up. And one of the reasons I started this career is like my sex I was having was performative. I was doing it with my partner. I was moving in the way I thought was hot. I was faking the orgasms, all the things. But once I realized that sex was about, really about my pleasure and my arousal, and the more I figured out what actually made me feel sexy, and I and that all came through like breath work, embodiment, somatic therapy of connecting my body to my brain, which was so disconnected. I was disassociated. I had trauma, a lot of things. I had to do that work. And it's like fun work. Actually, I started realizing that sex actually was important, and it's important for me to connect to myself. And then once I was able to kind of take it away from just in a partnership and about what that it was important to me, then I was able to kind of make sense of how it fit into a relationship. I sort of like, that's some really important work to do first, is to realize that like there's a lot of things that are blocking us. And I talk about this in the book, but pleasure thieves, stress, trauma, and shame are the three things that is keeping us from pleasure. And if we have a lot of stress in our life and we are in fight or flight all the time, which many of us are, your sex life is going to go out the window, and it's going to be really hard to get it back. If we're not connected to our body, if we're on certain medications, if we have untreated trauma, any kind of big T, little T trauma, we haven't had therapy, we haven't done any of our work. And then we have shame. If we grew up in an environment where sex wasn't okay, and we were told that if we were sexual or we masturbated or we had sex outside of marriage, we still carry that with us. If we grew up in a place where it wasn't okay, that is still with us in our bedroom in our 20s and our 30s and our 40s. And so this is a lot of it that we have to do. And I don't want to make it seem like it's another friggin' thing to do, but if you're already, and I know people listening to your show and in this, you know, you talk about this all the time about healing and your sobriety and working on yourself and meditation. Like, try to bring your sexual self under this umbrella of what you're already doing, because it's a part of it. If you think of it as like an outlier, it's going to just step back, or one day you're going to feel it. It just doesn't work that way. So I really try to invite people to sort of bring it into what you're already doing.
Yeah, I mean, sexual wellness is wellness. And what did you say before about the wellness? You said
sexual today.
It's
a big part. It's your sexual health. Your sexual health is a huge part of your overall wellness.
Okay.
And that it's an integral part of your wellness. If you are not sexually healthy, you're not going to be healthy overall. You don't really think about that. It's like not just like, oh, well, I'm just going to like fake it till I make it or grin and bear it. Like, that's impacting every area of your life. We need like an orgasm and arousal and desire. It's really part about, helps us with our, you know, spikes our serotonin, our dopamine. It's part of being mentally well, mentally healthy. So we can't just ignore it and run from it. And healing your trauma and your shame around it is going to be a big part of it. And keeping sex top of mind. I mean, a lot of us kind of put it on the back burner and hope it's going to come back, and it doesn't come back. So paying attention to it and giving it the, you know, giving it the attention and the focus that it deserves is really important.
I feel like just, this is definitely an overgeneralization, but in this country, I feel like we do have this kind of like puritanical attitude around sex. So I think even if you didn't grow up religious, and even if sex wasn't quote unquote bad, like, I think there is still this element of shame attached to it. And then if people feel like maybe they're not giving their partner what they need, or they're not satisfied in any way, or they're not having enough sex, or they're having too much, like, it's just so loaded.
It's so loaded. You're absolutely right. Our culture is so, we have so much, and it's confusing. It's like, be sexy, but not too sexy.
Yes.
You know, like, be aggressive, but not too much. Show skin, but not too much skin. Women get so many mixed messages about how to be sexual, and then there's just the shame, and culture is just, it's confusing, because even young girls are like, oh, I have to be sexy, but, and we don't even really understand what sex means. So that's why the work is like, internal work and healing your relationship to sex. And I also talk a lot about that, like, where the shame comes from, and like, how to just start to reprogram your brain around sex and realize that these messages that are coming in from society or from the church or wherever I grew up are, I remember those messages coming, but they no longer serve me. I get to decide what feels good to me and what it means to be a sexual being and what it means to be sexually healthy. And I just want people to know that, like, it's okay that the majority of people have grown up with messages around sex that don't serve them and aren't true. In fact, a lot of the knowledge we have around sex is just not true. Like, when you asked me early on about like orgasms, like, most women every single day, and the reason why I brought that up is like, they feel broken because they can't orgasm during penetration, or they feel bad that they're not turned on at the drop of a hat. And all of this goes back to misinformation and repression of female sexual desire since the beginning of time. And so there just hasn't been a lot of space or permission for women to feel safe in their bodies and to feel sexual, to ask for what they want, to know what they want. Like, I remember I used to just, like I said, the guy, I just expect that my partner would know and whatever they wanted was okay. And so again, this is the work. It's like, what is my turn-ons? And when you think about it, it's kind of fun. Like, especially if you take time to, like, on your own, like, watch some porn or get some toys or just sort of think about it. Like, what do I actually like? What feels good to me? Because that is the sexiest thing to a partner.
Yes.
You know, and to yourself, you're like, this is what I want. I didn't know for years. Yeah. I was like, whatever you, like, does this feel good? I'm like, yeah, I think so. Whatever you want. You know?
Well, it's so funny because I feel like a lot of people fall into that performative sex kind of habit. But yeah, I would imagine that the sexiest thing to see, like, in the person that you're having sex with is them deriving pleasure from whatever is happening. Like, I definitely feel that way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like more turned on by seeing that person like experiencing pleasure than, and not in a performative way, but
right.
But you want to see that there's the, like, the give and the take of it all. I think.
Exactly. It's really, really hot. And what something, it is hot to see your partner. And you want to know that you're giving them pleasure and they're mm-hmm. giving you pleasure. Another tip that I love for couples, if they can get over this, the masturbation part, it's like mutual masturbation is mm-hmm. so hot. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of tools for that too, but I'm just saying that, like, you get over the fact that everyone should be masturbating, whether you're in a relationship or out of a relationship. Please continue to self-love and take care of yourself because your body changes over time. Maybe you don't know what feels good to you or what you used to like 5 years ago, you know, you don't like now and you got to figure it out. But together, say, like, let's just, like, not only is it really hot to watch your partner getting off and seeing what they do, but you're also learning. You're like, oh, I remember my partner once. I'm like, oh, you put your hand when you're giving yourself, you know, a hand job, or you're masturbating yourself, your hand's going up and over the tip and your mm-hmm. hands are on your balls. Well, note to self, mm-hmm. next time I'm there, I'm touching your balls or I'm putting my hand over your tip. You know, like, let's, like, learn from each other. And there's also not the pressure of, like, sometimes you just don't want penetration or you don't want mm-hmm. all that, but you want to still be intimate with your partner. And orgasms are really healthy. They're good for your mental health and your well-being. So I recommend it. Huge mm-hmm. fan. Mm-hmm.
What happens to your body? Like, you mentioned serotonin, and I would imagine for women, oxytocin.
Oxytocin, the cuddle hormone when you have an orgasm.
Oxytocin's the best.
Oxytocin's the best, right?
Yeah.
I mean, after orgasm, we have oxytocin. After pleasure, dopamine, serotonin, like, really all of those connective hormones and feel-good chemicals are just raging after we connect with our partner and we cuddle and we kiss. And so a lot of times we're avoiding sex because it's so fraught with this, like, okay, maybe we have pain. You know, 80% of women have pain during sex at some point in their life, and some women have it all the time. And we don't have to live with pain. That's a whole nother conversation about how you don't have to live with it. But also, like, you don't, if it is that, we have to solve for the pain, but maybe it's just not penetration, but it's touch or it's kissing or it's making out. Maybe it's massage. Like, I got a massage table. And we just kind of, like, sometimes it's just my partner just gives me a massage. And then the next night I'll give
Sounds
him
like
a massage.
My dream
and maybe it turns into sex. And maybe it's only 20 minutes, but it's a way of receiving without having to give.
Mm.
And then he gives, and then I'm receiving. And we just sort of, I don't know, I just want people to play with what you've been told sex is, which is like one time a week, in and out, penetration, roll over, go to sleep. We did it, check it off the list, to, like, it's a whole erotic experience that's just really fun and pleasurable. And I just want people to, like rethink what they believe sex to be and give them a whole much more inspiration for pleasure.
Mm-hmm. That's why I like that survey of yours, though, about, like, the different sex acts, because I feel like it eliminates the shame. Like, you don't have to be the one coming up with
right.
it. And you can just be like, oh, look, what do you think about this? I feel like that's such a good bridge mm-hmm. to start with, to
I
open
love
that
it.
Conversation. Yeah,
exactly. Because it's like, the yes, no, maybe is great. I have some other, like, tools. It's like, I feel that I get that it's awkward and I get it's uncomfortable. And I'm asking people a lot to say, like, talk about it. So I just try to, like, give you all the tools you need mm-hmm. so it's less awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Blonde Files podcast. I'm your host, Arielle Lori, and I'm here to talk all things wellness, from how to achieve optimal health and well-being,
and as
beauty tips
and
everything in between,
struggled with
no topic,
acne
doesn't just affect
I know there's so much information
out there, so
really undermine your confidence and make you feel alone.
You
guys probably know, if you've been following me at least since last year, that I started dealing with this last summer out of the blue, and it was very
frustrating, and it did affect so many different areas of my life. And navigating it can be really difficult. And that's where Face Reality comes in with their award-winning acne treatment program dedicated to giving you visible results in 90 days. So their Clear Skin method is a unique combination of professional grade products and dedicated guidance from a certified acne expert. This is huge because when you're trying to navigate it on your own, you're following what other people have done, possibly buying a lot of different products that aren't necessarily right for you. So having somebody help to walk you through it is so imperative. Some of their products are the sulfur spot treatment. This features 6% sulfur and an innovative peptide to quickly soothe angry acne blemishes. And the transparent application allows you to spot treat on the sly so you can keep it on all day. And then they have this amazing daily SPF 30. So it's a lightweight, broad spectrum sunscreen that provides antioxidant support and it won't clog your pores like a lot of other sunscreens will. It's moisturizing, sheer application makes it an excellent choice for daily wear, even under makeup. And they have a whole selection of acne safe products that are shoppable on the Face Reality website. So you can partner with an acne expert near you to get started on a full-time routine, including acne fighting serums and treatments. So visit facerealityskincare.com and you can take their skin quiz and choose a certified acne expert near you to jumpstart your way to clear skin. Again, that's facerealityskincare.com. When you look at bags of dog food, you probably see pictures of bright carrots and juicy steaks. But then when you open the bag, all you get are these burnt, smelly pellets. So dog food needs some fresh thinking. And that is where the Farmer's Dog comes in. It's real fresh, healthy food with whole meat and veggies, gently cooked in human-grade kitchens to preserve their nutritional value. So basically, you just tell the Farmer's Dog about your dog and they will deliver personalized vet-developed recipes for as little as $2 a day. Also, the meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs, conveniently delivered on your schedule. They also give you text updates. The Farmer's Dog is great about letting you customize how often your dog receives new food, and you get text alerts and everything along the way. So it's super helpful, which I really appreciate. I know exactly when Harvey's food is coming. You never have to worry about running out of food, and it's just so convenient. Dog people all across the country have ordered millions of meals from the Farmer's Dog. It's really never been easier to invest in your dog's health with fresh food. So right now you can get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/blonde. Plus you will get free shipping. Just go to thefarmersdog.com/blonde.
What were some of the things that really helped you? I mean, we talked about the five pillars. Maybe we could dive into those a little bit more, but you mentioned like mindfulness and meditation and somatic therapy mm-hmm. and breath work, and you wouldn't necessarily think to connect those dots. So maybe you could expand on some of those, or if there were any other things that you did that helped you with your own sexuality that people wouldn't necessarily think of.
Yeah, it's a great question. So for me, definitely my mindfulness work. Meditation was a big one, learning because
what kind of meditation do you like?
I did Vipassana meditation many years ago, the silent, like 10-day silent retreats, but then I did TM, which I know you also do TM. Yeah. And I think TM was so helpful for me because it gave me permission that it doesn't have to be perfect and it could just be 20 minutes. And if it's 10 minutes, that's fine too. And I just love any kind of meditation that gives you, even if it's a minute or two, it's all fine. So I like that. And I like breath work is also a game changer, and also breath work for me with a partner. So what happens a lot, you can relate to this, but sex gets going and I felt like I had to go along with it because it just started. I didn't know it was okay to ever stop sex or readjust or sort of roll back and say, let's stop for a second. Thought that if sex started, it was like illegal to stop it. I was like, it's gonna hurt my partner. Like, I can't, you can't. Like, blue balls, which are not a thing, by the way. They're not a thing. Blue balls are not a thing. So then I realized, like, sometimes with my partner, and I encourage people to do this all the time, it's like, okay, wait, can we, it's going too fast, or I'm not in the mood, let's stop. And we'll just stop and we'll literally look into each other's eyes. And this is what Tantra is, everyone. You don't have to go like study with Sting and go take like courses and spend 20 hours doing this stuff. But it could literally be a 5-minute reset. What has been a game changer for me is taking is resetting, saying like, let's just take five deep breaths together. Your, you know, exhales are a little bit longer than your inhales, and we'll look and we'll just stare into each other's eye. We'll just do a little eye gaze. And sometimes if you just want to start with the eye gaze, you'll find that your breath starts to sync up. And when you're doing that, number one, you're completely connected to your partner. All your worries, kind of all your anxieties about, do I want to be sexual, do I not, sort of melt away because you are presence. Presence can't live in the state of anxiety and worry and stress. Mm-hmm. It just can't. And when you're looking in someone's eyes and you're breathing, it just sort of plants you there in that moment. And then, so I would say that to me has been just a game changer for me sexually. Also, and then telling my partner about that too and saying like, let's reset. Can we breathe for a minute? And stopping. And you realize like they're happy to ground too. Maybe they were off somewhere feeling like they have to please. So then you get to start again. Because the reason why, and again, this is why meditation is important for so many areas of your life. But what I hear from so many people is they are so in their head during sex that they're so, am I doing it right? Am I going to orgasm? Are they going to orgasm? Can they tell my, you know, but my left boob is bigger than my right boob? All the thoughts. So another tip for that is to, and I do this too, is that to think about the five senses. And this works for a lot of stressful situations, but especially in the bedroom. If you find that your mind is just so wrapped up in, or I didn't send that last email to my boss or whatever it is. If you think about your five senses and you're just like, and this is a practice to remember to do this in the bedroom. So maybe everyone can try this like tonight, next time you're having sex. Think about, you're in your head, you're tripping, you're like, what is it? Go, what am I seeing right now? Okay, I'm like seeing my partner's like beautiful chest. I'm looking at their skin, my hands on my partner's chest. Look at his muscles, they look amazing. Something. What am I hearing? Like, okay, I'm hearing that music. It's my favorite playlist. I'm so glad I'm playing that. What am I smelling? Oh, it's my favorite vanilla candle. And then once you loop in your senses again, you can't, your presence of your senses cannot, it stops the noise. You can't be in your head and it grounds you with where you're at in the moment. So that's another, and I think that that has probably been the most helpful thing for me and learning to connect with my body and my sensations in my body and learning to like kind of connect that back to a partner and giving myself permission to take time to get aroused and time to get into the mood and connect with my body every time I have sex.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you get this question a lot, and I know that there's no right answer, but how often should people be having sex? Or how long do you think is too long to go without connecting, knowing that, you know, there are circumstances, people or have new babies or they're traveling or whatever. But what do you think is like under the umbrella of quote unquote normal?
I love this question because I'm like, people are like, you want a number, don't you? I'm like, we just want a number. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you that you have to be having sex like 2.3 times a week. But what I will tell you is that once a month isn't enough for most couples. Like, that's not going to be enough. And I think that in every couple, there's a high desire partner and a low desire partner. And so if I could tell you once a week is pretty average, that'd be great. But typically it's not when there's someone who wants more and someone who wants less. Mm-hmm. And in every relationship, that's the matchup, high and low. So for that couple in the relationship, they need to decide how many times a week works for them. And once they decide that, then they can say, well, how are we going to fit that in? If it's two times a week or three times a week or, you know, what? Then you get to like troubleshoot and say, okay, well, we know it's Saturday mornings or we know in the mornings and we know it's going to be one night a week. And you people are like, that is not hot. That is not sexy. But it really, it's how you're going to get your needs met and how you're going to make sure that you connect with your partner at a rate that feels good to both of you. And yes, when you have kids, I just want to give people permission. Like, it's okay if it's not happening for a while. And doctors say 6 weeks. But it might be a little bit longer than that. Mm-hmm. And you can still have intimacy then. You can still connect. You can still maybe do some like oral or some hand stuff, hand play. But I also want to say that women just get, it's really, really tricky because they feel added pressure. Like, mm-hmm. I just had a kid and now I'm like a human came out of my body and now I should be able to just go off and have sex right now. Like, that's just, it's not the case for many. Mm-hmm. So giving yourself permission. But I would say, yeah, you know, make sure you're having it at the right rate that feels good to both of you.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about anal.
Let's do it.
Let's
jump into that. Yeah. It's a big question.
Yeah, you're rebranding anal. So let's talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, anal. Anal gets such a bad rap, first off, for many women, anal has been a thing that's like, first of all, it's the most taboo, I think. People are like, oh, God, anal, well, I'm going to save it for a marriage or I'm not going to do it. Or a lot of people had a really bad experience with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not on purpose, but their partner might have, you know, whoops, wrong hole, or mm-hmm. they were really drunk in college and there was no lube. And the reason why his anal is so painful for so many is because it's just not done in the appropriate way. Mm-hmm. It's really not. I mean, and the right way is to build up to it, play around with it, go, I mean, here's my top tips for it is go slow, breathe, and use a lot of lube, mm-hmm. no matter what kind of anal it is. But you want to build, you want to like not go from zero to anal either. You want to use some fingers, you want to explore, maybe use a toy, but also like just make sure that anal for all, like anal for men and for women, like everyone with an anus, like anal sex feels great, but mm-hmm. it's just a bunch packed with nerve endings that feel amazing, but it and make sure that you are, you know, clean and ready to go. And I give a lot of those setup tools, but I think I would just re-examine your relationship with it if mm-hmm. you've never had it or you had a bad experience. I want to remind people that every time you have sex with someone or you're with a new partner, is a time to start again with your sex life. It doesn't have to be what happened in the past and bring into this future one. Like, that's the great thing about experience. Again, I'll bring it back to workout. Every time you work out, it doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter what happened a week ago, but you're there, you're in the gym, you're about to go for your run, your bike ride, whatever, your yoga class. And the same thing goes for sex. You get to start again. You're with a new partner or the same partner, but what's going to happen today that we're going to do differently so we can connect in the most beautiful way? And if it's like, you know, I am interested in anal, but I want to just go slow. I want to use it. So I recommend that you always use lube and you just, no matter what sexual situation, but especially with anal. And you could just start on the outside. There's mm-hmm. lots of nerve. Use a finger and just kind of trace around the external opening and maybe put a little finger inside and you say, breathe, and you ask your partner how it feels, you know, or maybe when you're masturbating, you explore on yourself. So it's not for everybody, but it's for a lot more people than mm-hmm. we think.
What does skincare for down there look like for you? Chances are you're probably using fragranced bar soaps and body washes to cleanse your vulva, which is maybe doing more harm than good. That's why Love Wellness is on a mission to make vaginal care simpler, safer, and more effective than what we were once used to. They formulate products without parabens, sulfates, fragrances, or any other harsh ingredients that may disrupt your vaginal pH and dry out the skin. And based on their over 50,000 five-star reviews, Love Wellness is essential intimate care. Not sure where to start? Kick off your vaginal care routine with their pH balancing cleanser. Unlike ordinary cleansers, this gentle cleanser is specifically designed for your vulva and made with safe, hydrating ingredients like aloe vera and calendula. Soothe and nourish your vulva and bikini area with their new Comfy Cream. It's a fragrance-free moisturizer. It is a cleaner, safer take on body lotion made to protect your most sensitive skin. Love Wellness believes caring for your vagina shouldn't be complicated. Their science-backed, doctor-developed solutions make feeling your best be simple. Visit lovewellness.com and use the code BLONDE15 at checkout for 15% off your first purchase. That's LOVEWELLNESS.com and use the code BLONDE15 for 15% off your first order. Whenever I share my nighttime magnesium latte on Instagram, it goes crazy and it's so interesting. I get that people want to sleep better and feel relaxed and all of that. But I think about why it seems to connect with so many people. And I think it's because it is this little ritual that brings me so much joy. And I think we're all kind of craving those moments throughout our days, like not dissimilar to that cup of coffee or matcha in the morning that you look forward to. Like that's how my shut-eye chai magnesium latte feels at night. I look forward to it all day. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, Shut-Eye Chai is a nighttime latte blend from Ned. It contains magnesium, L-theanine, my favorite calming amino acid. It also has GABA, which is my other favorite. And it also has adaptogens, functional mushrooms. So really the best ingredients out there wrapped in this heavenly masala chai inspired spiced body. So think cinnamon, clove, ginger, all that good stuff. And it doesn't just set you up for amazing sleep. It has
ingredients like chaga, reishi, and ashwagandha that are really deeply nourishing to your body. So you're getting a lot of additional benefits. As with all of Ned's products, it's crafted from the highest grade single origin ingredients. It's ethically sourced from some of the world's best small-scale farms, and it will help calm your nervous system, nourish your senses, and send you peacefully off to dreamland. So in the winter, I make this with either hot water or warm or hot nut milk. But right now, since we're kind of in the summer, warmer nights, I don't necessarily want to drink something hot. So I make this in a similar way that I make my morning matcha. So I mix the shut-eye chai powder with a little bit of macadamia milk and a little bit of honey, and I blend it up and I just keep it in my fridge in these little bottles. Like, I'm basically a baby with my bottle at night, and it's so good and so nourishing. And it does not contain CBD, obviously no caffeine, no melatonin. You're not groggy the next day. You're just super rested. So discover how Shut-Eye Chai can revolutionize your sleep and get 15% off with the code BLONDE. Go to helloned.com/blonde or enter the code BLONDE at checkout. This will also take you to a page with some of my other favorite Ned products. So check it out. That's helloned.com/blonde to get 15% off.
Why do you think it is so taboo?
I think it's just been, you know, religion. I think that we're told it's for exiting and not for entering. I think it's for, especially for, like, a lot of people think that, like, if a man who's straight has any anal play, it means he's gay. It just means that he has a prostate. It doesn't mean that. It just means that he wants to explore something that can feel amazing to him. So I think it's just, again, a lot of misinformation. But I think a lot of it started with policing the gay community, I think, was part of it. But also for, just because they think that it's just sort of that other whole, it's misunderstood. And yeah, I think that's why. But again, all of these things are like taboo, and it comes from society. It doesn't come from actual experience. And that's what, like, I want to ground people in, that you're responsible, which is exciting, for figuring out what makes you feel good. So just no matter what society says or what you've had in the past, what do you actually want? Like, I just want to give people the tools and a menu, like, and the steps and how to figure out, like, do I like it? I don't know. I don't care if it's, like, shameful or taboo or anything like that, or if the society believes that. What do I want? Because my invitation is for people just to kind of explore again. Like, there's a reason why sex is hyped. Like, sex is supposed to be fucking great and amazing and fun and orgasmic and playful, but we make it so heavy and so hard and so painful and so scary. And so once we get rid of all the pleasure thieves, the things that are stealing us, and we have a blank slate with either a new partner or with ourselves, we can rebrand it and recreate it to be whatever it is. And again, with every sex act, going slow, using lube, breathing, and communicating is going to change the game.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that's kind of taboo, or maybe, yeah, I guess it's just loaded like everything else, where I think people have shame around it, but our toys. Like, I think I saw you do a post on it where, I don't know if you or somebody in the comments said, like, that sometimes a partner feels insecure if you bring toys into the situation, because they feel like, oh, they're not doing their job right. And you're like, no, toys are our allies.
Toys are our allies. Toys are your BFF.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys, toys is just, it's just, I think that we feel threatened by anything else than that's a penis and a vagina or, you know, going, and that's creating orgasm. But it's like, it's your team. It's part of your team. It's like, there's a lot of different ways to have pleasure or to have an orgasm. You know, think about, like, going to work. Like, you could walk to work, you could take the bus to work, you could, you know, drive to work, and you're going to, at the end of the day, you're going to get to the office. But there's a lot of different ways to get there. Like, you're going to have an orgasm, and you could do it, but there's nothing that's inferior. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's additive. And the other thing I want to say is, like, remember this: toys are for penises too. And once I've learned, like, and I've had partners like that too. Like, even though, like, what I do for a living, like, are you sure we don't need toys? We don't. I'm like, I'll get a new toy and I'll, like, maybe put it in my hand. Like, a lot of toys are just really cute and adorable, and you place it in the palm of your hand. I'm like, well, let me show you this new toy I got. And then I'll take them, like, I'll wrap it on their balls or their shaft. They're like, oh, wow, that feels amazing. Because remember, we are covered in feel-good nerve endings that when we stimulate them with a vibrator or a mouth or a lube or a wetness, it feels great when stimulated. So I would just say, expand your mind. Your partner's not going to leave you for a vibrator. Like, it can't cuddle or take you to the farmer's market or anything like that. Like, it's just additive. And I found that once people get over that, they can't live without the toys. They're like, mm-hmm. bring that toy with you. Like, I know with me, with partners, like, yes, every time. Bring it. I loved it. You liked it. You felt good.
Okay, so I was going to play devil's advocate, though, and say, what if somebody is listening to this and they're like, yes, I want to explore my sexuality and learn about what feels good and try new things with my partner, and the partner is just, like, resistant, defensive, feeling inferior to what you were saying before, feeling judged, and they are just, like, coming up against a brick wall. What would you recommend to that couple?
That's a great question. I think it's about how you bring up sex, too. So it's a kind of a bummer because most people, like I said, permission, nobody ever went to be okay where you're at if you've never talked about sex or you're starting to and it's awkward because most people do not. But if you're coming up against someone who says, I don't want to talk about it, sex should always be great, there's a problem, then there's just some more listening to do. There's more like talking about sex without, and I give a lot of, you know, tips for this too about how to make these conversations less awkward, but you really have to be a great listener. And going without an agenda and without making about like, why won't you talk about sex? Or I can't believe you're so uptight about it. They're never going to listen. This is years of trauma and shame that they're bringing to the table. And I think if you can be a great listener, maybe get curious about their resistance. Say, I understand that talking about it right now is uncomfortable for you, but maybe you could tell me more about that. Like, what is it about talking about sex that doesn't feel right to you? Oh, I feel like, you know, that you're just going to shame me or that you don't like me or you don't like my penis or you don't like my body. No, actually, I hear what you're saying. I just want to be a great lover to you. Would you like to be a great lover for me? I think we, and then you just keep listening and asking questions and you're going to find that there's probably some messaging that has nothing to do with you mm-hmm. that they haven't quite tapped into yet. And they haven't quite really thought about. Maybe something happened in childhood where they were told if you ever talk about sex, it means that something's wrong. Or if you ever have sex beyond procreation, there's a problem. So we carry all of these messages with us. So just to be kind to a partner and say like, let me listen, let's work on this. And I have to say that if you're with somebody and they still are like, you know, I have them listen to my show too. And my podcast, Sex with Emily, which is doing for a long time, a lot of couples, I get these emails for years and they're like, we went on a 12-hour road trip and we listened to your podcast the entire time. And I used to be like, oh my God, they must have really, that's awesome. But now I realize it is the way that I talk about it is in the way that people hopefully they're talking about it now is I normalize it. I make it like it's like Sunny with a side of orgasms, like mm-hmm. chance of orgasms. Like it shouldn't be shameful, but we don't have the experience of people talking about it. So it immediately, like when we bring up sex sometimes with our partners, they immediately go into fight or flight mm-hmm. because it's so traumatic. And so I'm going to say that a lot of people are going to come up against this resistance. So just to say like, I hear what you're saying. It's not like that. Sex is a really important part of our sexual health and wellness. So, I don't know, listen to my podcast, get the book, download, you know, get list, try to talk about it. But if your partner is still really resistant and they're like, I won't, I think it's a great time for therapy. Mm-hmm. I think getting to the bottom of it because we all deserve pleasure. And that's a lot of what I'm just about. Like when pleasure is productive, the more pleasure we have in our life. And I don't just mean sex. I mean like making time for your friends, making time for nature, do the things that you love doing. It's going to inform every other area of your life and help every other area of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Favorite position, favorite toy, and favorite lube?
Oh, wow. Okay, so I love favorite position. I'd say one of my favorite positions is spooning position. Oh. I love the spoon because mm-hmm. there's room for stimulating my like clitoris. I can use a toy. You're still in control.
Mm-hmm.
But I also love missionary. Mm-hmm. But okay, spooning position. Oh my God, favorite toy? That's like asking for my favorite child. It's so, I would have to say all around, I love the Magic Wand Mini. It's the Magic Wand's been around for over 50 years. It is so powerful, rechargeable, waterproof. It's mini now. It has a lot of power and I love using it with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
I also love a couple's toy, like a penis ring, because it's a great entry level toy. For partners, are a great starter toy because it feels great on the penis and the
mm-hmm.
vagina,
mm-hmm.
the vulva. Mm-hmm. And then my favorite lube, oh my God, I brought you some. I brought you Playground.
Ooh.
I brought you this Yay. New, yeah. I love Playground lube because I'm a chief sexologist of this company. We just launched it with Christina Aguilera. She's mm-hmm. also the president of one of the founders of it. And I love it because it was made with all these feel-good ingredients that are for women, made for women, by women, like stuff that I would, like if you, and listen, we care about the skin on our face. We got to care about the skin on our vagina. So it's like a facial for your vagina.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, I can't wait to try that. Thank you so much for that. Yes. And I'm sure everybody knows where they can find you. You're the OG podcast.
Yeah,
world.
Find it. Sex with Emily across the board. Sex with Emily everywhere. At least my podcast twice a week. You can ask me questions. Please get my new book, Smart Sex. Yay. It's going to change your life. Take the Smart Sex quiz. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you liked it, and if you like the show in general, please take a second to rate, review, and subscribe. It goes a long way, and it's actually the best way to support the show. Also, if you want to see more about each episode, you can head over to the Blonde Files podcast on Instagram. You can go to ariellaurie.com. And I'm always posting about each episode over on my personal page at ariellaurie.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.